all the people responsible. I have no proof, but the people who went to jail weren't the ones in real positions of power. The head of the family is Leicester McAvoy, and nothing happened to him. And his son Daniel was only 10 or so at the time. All he got was a slap on the wrist for not controlling his people better.
Didn't you just say that the Collins and the BPD are related to the McAvoys? Makes sense they would cover up his involvement as best they could, Simeon said, a growl under his words.
Yeah, I would agree, but no proof. I was 20 and a mess, and everyone was either afraid of me or treating me like glass. I was in no place to really push for more answers. There wasn't anyone left from the Blood Clan that got enthralled either, so none of them could come forward to place blame on the particular sorcerer who destroyed their clan. They all died. Angel was lost to memory. The sound of ripping flesh and hissing, screams of terror and pain ricocheting behind his eyes and filling his ears. He squeezed his eyes shut and clung tightly to Simeon, willing the horrors to retreat.
Even the master and his elders. We knew the history when our master moved us here, but there are many pieces still missing to the tale. We absorbed the few lone vampires here in the city, but they knew nothing about what happened.
What do you know?
Angel thought about it, but his mind was stumbling. Images of August propped up against the wall, interspersed with memories of his family strung out across the floor and in the front yard of his childhood home, too much to handle. Here was comfort and support, and all he could do was cling and hope Simeon knew what to do after that. Tomorrow was soon enough to be strong. All he could do right now was try and hold himself together. It was a clan from Rhode Island? Maybe Providence? I can't remember ever asking. I wasn't in a place to get answers. I don't know if the master and his elders fell with the rest of their clan. When they attacked, they were as rabid and unthinking as zombies, and a hell of a lot faster. None of them were capable of rational thought, even when my family cut them down in droves before being overrun. Too late to stop it, a sob broke free. An angel buried his face in the soft silk of Simeon's tie. He was going to end up ruining the silk with his tears, but Simeon held them tighter and Angel let them come. For years, he'd been alone. Even when Isaac was living with him, Angel was alone. Being a parent and a big brother left little time for mourning, and there had been no one to turn to after his family died. August had bailed. Too overcome by his own grief and the foolish belief that if he'd been with Rain Salvatore the night of the attack that he might have been able to save them. Angel had been home that night, and all he could do was get Isaac to safety in the mansion's panic room and then run back into the fray, expecting fully to die. "Haven't seen August for years," Angel said, muffled by Simeon's tie. "I thought he left town. I heard at one point he moved to Hartford. Why was he here? Why didn't he come to see me if he was in town? I might have saved him from... maybe."
"Perhaps, Morgra. You were a reminder of his grief. Seeing you would have been too much. Not fair, but only too human."
Simeon had stopped rubbing, merely cradling Angel in a protective embrace. An Angel's lids drooped, and he was moments from sleep, even as he struggled to think. Simeon kept talking, lips brushing over the top shell of his ear. An Angel let some more tears slip free.
"Don't put his death on yourself. Only the one who killed him is responsible."
"I know," Angel replied, but he had yet to believe it. What he wouldn't give for a quiet life, free from his past. "I don't know why he's dead. Other than it's to do with me. That means someone out there wants me and is willing to do anything to get to me, including summoning demons and killing innocent people to do it. And I don't think the cops will be doing anything to stop it." Simeon was gone again when he woke in the morning, and it was sometime before noon by the angle of the sun. Angel was tucked in on the couch, his boots off, stripped down to his underwear under the ratty afghan that he'd taken from his old home years before. For a foolish second, he thought to check for bite marks, but Simeon wasn't an idiot. It was a guaranteed second death for a vampire to drink from someone like Angel, unless Angel felt like saving him or he could get to another magic user in time. Damn it, he never told me why he was in a tux. Fuck, he was fine, Angel grumbled, sitting up, afghan pooling in his lap. I was dressed in a tux, Angelus, because there was a welcoming party for a foreign dignitary. I'm glad you appreciated the sight, my love, Simeon said from behind him, and Angel squawked, falling from the couch and standing in a mad scramble of limbs. I left when it became too onerous, which I'm glad for, incidentally, as you needed me last night.
Holy shit, don't do that,
Angel shouted, confused.
It's daytime.
It was, indeed, the sun streaming in from the street-side windows, alighting across the couch and most of the living room. Simeon was standing in the kitchen, covered by shadows and holding still.
Why the fuck are you here, Simeon? Do you have a second death wish?
Angel was freaking out. If Simeon took even a step forward, he would be a pile of ash.
Why didn't you go home?
Simeon asked, tiny flashes of fang showing Angel just how displeased he was.
That's sweet and all, but I've been taking care of myself for years now. I don't need a sitter.
I beg to differ.
Angel gaped at Simeon, who did nothing but smirk at him and cross his arms over his wide chest, while Angel figured out how to reply.
People actually say that?
Angel whispered, and Simeon snorted, in an elegant sound that contrasted with the silk dress shirt he still wore. The tuxedo jacket was draped over the back of the couch, and Angel found himself reaching for it, caressing the smooth cloth, enjoying the heavy yet fine feel to the fabric.
How long have you been trapped in the kitchen?
Simeon appeared to think about it, but he answered quick enough.
Since dawn. The sun should make it into the kitchen in an hour or so. I would have been safer in your bedroom, but I was most reluctant to have you out of my sight.
He rolled his eyes at the overprotective statement, but made no comment. Angel couldn't hear the worry in his voice, but Simeon would indeed be trapped and then exposed as the day waxed on. Angel didn't have blinds sufficient to block the sun and keep Simeon from burning.
Hold on a few minutes. Stay in there, okay?
Nowhere else to go, Mogra.
Angel chuckled at the sardonic reply and carefully put the jacket back down. He wasn't as tired as he should be for some reason. Maybe there was some magical benefit to sleeping on a vampire's lap, although he doubted it. He remembered feeling safe and relaxed, even with his painful memories. Sleeping with Simeon left him refreshed, and he didn't know what to do about that. Angel faced the windows, pale gold light streaming in. The sky was clear, a few random fluffy white clouds coming into view before the wind chased them away. It was a day shiny and bright, a rarity this late in the season. It wouldn't last, though, the evening bringing more rain and some snow. Angel stepped closer to the windows and closed his eyes. He called his second sight to the fore, and the sigils and runes written on the windows shone like liquid gold. They were part of his wards, to keep them from being broken and forcibly opened. Glass was highly receptive to spells and magic, and these windows already knew his magic. Angel reached for the veil, and with a thin tendril of thought opened it to a trickle. Even with so small an opening in the veil, the energy that poured out from the fissure into Angel was enough to make him mentally stagger. He absorbed it, made it his own, and kept a part of his mind on monitoring the energy flow. He welcomed the filling of his mental reserves and exhaled, relaxing as best he could. As well as anyone knew, vampires were of a magical origin to which sunlight was inimical. The radiant energies put off by the UV and the extreme magical energies of the solar system's yellow star of a sufficient strength to tear apart the mysterious force that animated the undead. Angel recognized it as a type of death magic, the force that animated the sentient undead, a primordial magic that was ancient and enigmatic, and impossible to fully understand. The actual how of a vampire's existence left him stumped, along with millennia of necromancers. What he knew for certain was that if Simeon was exposed to direct sunlight, he would die a second death, reduced to ash. Angel's wards hummed and vibrated when he made contact, the near-sentient magical constructs responding to him as would a trained pet. He spoke to them all, wordless murmurs of affection and reinforcement. He searched among them for the runes that identified Angel as their master and creator, and saw how they reflected his will. And there, as Simeon had said, was their recognition of the vampire's permission to be there in Angel's space. Where Angel's magical signature varied from emerald green to new spring verdant, Simeon's invitation was a sapphire and silver cord, cool and sweet to the touch. Angel tasted chocolate and spices on his tongue in a sensory overlap, his body creating an echo in response to Simeon's presence in the wards. The sigils on the windows were the ones he needed to change. He spoke to the runes and sigils, the designs responding quickly, and when he pulled at them, twisting their shapes, they almost resisted, until he showed them what they were to become. The magical equivalent of a mirror, able to distinguish between those welcome and uninvited. The sigils latched on to the invitation, and Angel fed them power, guiding and tweaking as the sigils rewrote themselves to match the mental diagrams he worked out as he went along. When it was done, when it was successful, a single tone resonated through Angel and the wards. It rocked Angel to his very center, and he laughed in response, awed and overjoyed. Magic done right, a magic that created, even for a necromancer, was joy and celebration, and brought with it a euphoric high. Angel rode out the wave and slowly withdrew from his wards. "What have you wrought, necromancer?" Simeon's shocked whisper brought him all the way back, to see the vampire staring at him. The sunlight had moved closer to Simeon while Angel was occupied, and a tiny sliver was touching Simeon's shoe, creeping up his lower legs. He coughed and tried again. Angel opened the connection to the veil and let more energy fill him up, making it his own. The hours of restful sleep and channeling the veil into his reserves directly was restoring him faster than days off from casting could ever manage. "I made UV and radiant magic reflective runes. Radiant magic is the rare type of magic that is inherent in raw sunlight, and it's partially responsible for why vamps burn, though I'm sure you know that. Instead of spells that maintain grayish translucent panes of glass and allow heavy filtered light to pass through, which is done with commercially treated glass, I'm letting the light through, the visible radiation that our eyes translate as sunlight. But the radiant magic and the UV rays that burn vampires is reflected back out. So sunlight can come in, but the parts of it that would kill you stay outside." Angel smirked at the absolutely bemused and confounded expression on Simeon's face. The elder vampire finally looked away from him to the sunlight, climbing his legs. An Angel chuckled when Simeon hesitated. "Seriously, Simeon, cleaning ash out of the floorboards would be a pain in the ass. It's safe. I used your vampiric magical enter at will card, your invitation, as the basis for the spell. The wards won't let you burn." Simeon growled, but he bravely took a step forward, fully into the light. Angel held his breath, a tiny part of him afraid that he messed up somewhere. But when Simeon stood for a whole minute in direct sunlight without a single whiff of smoke or flame, Angel grinned. "Awesome. And man, you need a tan." Simeon's pale complexion was obvious and stark in the golden fall of light. Angel smiled at the fiery highlights in the vampire's dark auburn hair, and his green eyes reflected the light like shards of glass. Simeon lifted his hands, gazing at the shadows his fingers made, still lost to wonder. Angel laughed again, then noticed he was damn near naked. He was wearing just his underwear and had been standing around, almost naked, casting in front of Simeon the whole time. Coffee, food, and clothes. A shower and a toothbrush would be nice, too. God, I'm gross. I'm gonna take a shower. Don't step outside, or you're gonna fry. Walking into his bathroom and turning on the shower, Angel waited for the hot water to kick in. He just managed to strip off his underwear and get under the spray when he found himself crowded back against the shower stall, 6+ feet of naked, horny vampire looming over him. Tongues melding, hands grabbing and holding, and steam rising. Angel gasped, Simeon taking his opening and kissing Angel as if he were starving and a kiss was his only sustenance. A rapidly warming hand tilted his head back. Another gripped his hip and yanked him forward, lifting him off the slippery tiles. Angel grabbed Simeon's shoulders and wrapped his legs around the vampire's lean waist. Simeon chuckled, and Angel growled back, too turned on to do anything but buck impatiently with his hips, nails scoring Simeon's white flesh. He gasped when Simeon pulled his lips away, the vampire kissing down the side of his neck, his big hands reaching down to cup Angel's ass, fingertips dipping into the crease. Simeon sucked hard on his neck, working up a mark and Angel arched into it, feeling a dangerous hint of fangs. No punctures, but near enough that Angel moaned, his cock so hard he could feel his heart beating in the throbbing length. Simeon! Simeon lifted his head, green eyes taking up Angel's entire field of vision, and the vampire snarled. You are a treasure, and you give me such a marvelous gift as the light. Will you be mine, Mogra? No one else's. Only mine. Be mine, mine to treasure forever. His hand worked its way down between them and wrapped tight around their cocks. Simeon stroked, hard and slow, squeezing almost to the point of pain, jerking them off as one. One stroke, then two. An Angel broke. Angel came with a scream, writhing, and he answered without thinking, Yes! The next few minutes were a strange mix of languid kisses and sleepy sighs, wandering, exploring hands and shivers. Angel rode a high greater than any magical one before, his brain futilely trying to catch up to what just happened. If it wasn't for the fact that the water was starting to run cold, he would think he was still asleep. Simeon carried him out of the shower, drying him with a towel and setting him on his feet. Angel shook his head, trying to find his brain to form a coherent thought, but it took him a few minutes. What was that? He asked, as Simeon knelt naked at his feet, drying his toes. And oh God, that's an image. Simeon grinned up at him through wet bangs, and Angel found his fingers threading through the strands. Seriously, what just happened? And why do I feel like I got hit by a demon train? That, my angel, was an orgasm. Surely you've had one of those before. Not like that. His whole body was quivering. His fingers were buzzing and his head swam, and he moaned as his cock valiantly tried to rise to the sight of Simeon kneeling naked and wet at his feet. Then it's good I'm here now, isn't it? Simeon said, smug only as a naked man can be as he rose to his feet, tossing aside the towel. Angel got his first good look at the vampire since the whirlwind jerk-off in the shower. I plan to give you more of those. Simeon was a mix between a marble statue carved by an old master and one of those naked veteran pictures on social media. Covered in ancient tattoo designs and scars cut in place while he was alive, Simeon was all warrior. The sophisticated undead James Bond from the night before was gone, and in his place was a wild and untamed man, regardless of his lack of heartbeat. Angel swallowed, and his cock went right back to interested. Simeon noticed, but he made no move to touch. Simeon's own cock rose thick and hard from a neatly trimmed patch of dark red hair, uncut and flushed with the faintest of rosy hues. Large balls nestled tight under the base of the shaft, showing Angel just how aroused Simeon was. Angel wanted to touch, and badly, and he was having trouble remembering why he shouldn't. Why was he fighting this so hard? Lan and Anum, you tempt me. But somehow I think your mind has yet to catch up to what just occurred. You give me the gift of sunlight,
unasked for and generously beautiful, and I mob you in the shower, like an untried fledgling fresh from the grave. Forgive me. Simeon held out his hand and Angel took it. He felt like he was sleepwalking, and Simeon was right. His mind had yet to catch up. Fingers meshing, Simeon gently tugged, not demanding but asking now. Angel went and Simeon gathered him close, arms rising to hold him secure and tight. Angel exhaled a ragged breath, but let his head fall to rest on Simeon's hard chest, and his own arms came up to return the embrace.
I don't know what's going on.
I know, Maugre, Simeon whispered back. I'm certain it'll kick in soon enough. It was now evening, the sun down by a few minutes and vampire safe outside his walls. Angel had spent the whole day cleaning his place, taking the rubble of the destroyed bed to the trash chute a few feet down the hall from his apartment door. Angel had fun flipping the torn mattress down the stairs and out to the curb, thankful that big item pickup was the next morning as he dragged it down the street half a block and left it at the designated spot. Simeon offered commentary from his spot on the couch, like a house cat that learned to talk. Angel ended up giving the elder his laptop and the passwords to his video streaming service and let the undead man binge-watch TV all day, sitting in the sun. Angel got a kick out of Simeon watching a teen television show about vampires, Simeon sighing or shaking his head the whole time. Angel tugged on his coat, pocketing his keys and cell. His bag was slung over his shoulder, packed with supplies he would need on the errand tonight. Simeon was behind him, patiently waiting. An Angel seethed. Simeon had been right, and when Angel's brain kicked in, he was plenty mad. Not at Simeon. Not entirely. He could have set the vamp on fire and kicked his ass out of the shower, but he didn't, and now he kept hearing the words, "Will you be mine?" over and over in his head. And his own needy agreement. The joy and satisfaction he'd experienced telling Simeon yes still left him dazed. "So it's not a spell?" Angel asked again, turning on his heel and skewering Simeon where he stood in his rumpled tux, still looking hot enough to melt Angel's resolve. "I'm not magically your mate or something. I didn't promise away my soul or something equally ridiculous." "Where do you get your ideas? Were you watching that dreadful TV show over my shoulder?" Simeon cracked a smile, shaking his head side to side, and Angel glared at him some more. "No, Maugre, you're not magically my mate. We vampires are not wolves, to take mates in bouts of passion and with no thought. I asked, because I've wanted you for years now, and you left me overwhelmed with your generosity. You gave me the sun, and it only took you a thought's time and some ingenious tinkering. My restraint is now non-existent when it comes to you. So I asked, as any man would, for you to give me your heart, as you've always had mine." "Give you my heart? I haven't said anything about my heart." "No, you did not. But I see the way you look at me, and the desire your body holds for me. You are not indifferent to me, and one day I hope to earn your love."
"Oh, okay then."
Angel refused to admit he was blushing. He could blow up a street with a demon trying to rip him apart, but have a centuries-old vampire admit to wanting him and he lost it. He turned back to the door and yanked it open, making the board nailed to it rattle. He glared at the door and walked out into the hall, letting Simeon follow. Simeon shut the door and Angel locked it, powering up his wards with a quick thought before having a small epiphany.
"Wait, are you saying you're in love?"
Angel was interrupted by a kiss. Cool lips molded to his own in a hand holding his chin. The kiss was chaste and brief, but Angel got the message. Grumbling, he pulled away and strode off down the hall. Declarations of love were not what he was expecting. Not like this, and never from a vampire. His relationship with the local blood clan was an aberration. His name and affinity was anathema to all vampires past the borders of Boston and its surrounding towns.
He never knew why Simeon and his master hadn't fought to get out of Angel's non-aggression agreement, or even why they sought him out as often as they did for magical assistance that any other sorcerer-level practitioner could provide. Simeon, from the night they met, had always set his attentions on Angel, and only in the last week had Simeon moved from polite but intense appreciation to open affection and endearments. Angel didn't know what prompted the change in Simeon, but it left him confused, horny, and his heart hurt. He wanted what Simeon was offering him, yet the wary side of his nature, the one scarred by war and death, told him not to believe and keep himself safe. He was tired of listening to that side of himself, yet he couldn't stop. And to love a vampire? When Simeon's kind hated him, and with good reason? How would that work in the long run, if at all? What are your plans for this evening? Someone or several people want you dead, Simeon called after him. Leaving your apartment and its wards is not wise. I'm aware, Angel called back over his shoulder as he took the stairs down, Simeon following on his heels. But I'm not going to wait around for this asshole to make another move. He took someone from me. Sure, August hasn't been around for the last decade, but he was still part of my family. Or what's left of it, anyway. I refuse to let this go any further. Millie or Isaac could be next. Hell, even you. And I will not let that happen. This fucker is going down. Angel hit the street, and he did take a look both ways down the darkened block before heading south towards the commons. Thankful that the sidewalks were still intact, Angel walked past the crater at the three-way intersection, the hole covered in metal sheets and surrounded by a forest of orange warning cones. Through traffic was non-existent now, and Angel grinned for a moment, thinking about the piece in the paper that morning about how he managed to get the statehouse employees a day off from work due to magical disturbances near the building. Simeon followed him and walked beside him once there was room. It was cold and damp, and the tiniest of flakes fell around them. The snowfall might pick up, but the day's worth of rain was slicking, turning to ice, and the wind blew in from the ocean. Brine, smoke, and fish assaulted Angel's nose, but he was used to it. Angel pulled out his cell and, after checking his messages, sent one of his own. You okay? A.S. A minute passed, but he got a reply. Millie wasn't a texter, but she knew enough to respond. I am. What are you doing? You never text me. M.F. Have you heard from anyone at BPD? Are they looking for anyone from the old families who may be after me? A.S. My contact says no. There's been next to no casework done on August's murder or who sent the demon after you. The videotape of the summoner outside your townhouse hasn't been processed either. Someone high up has stalled things. M.F. Not surprised. They probably know who it is. Or want the killer to succeed in getting me. A.S. What are you doing? M.F. Asking an old friend who killed him. A.S. No! Don't you dare! M.F. Angel smiled at her use of caps and replied, You know what to say if the fools in blue come by? A.S. I won't have to say anything if you don't do it. M.F. True, but I'm gonna anyway. A.S. You tell me just so I freak out. Don't even act nonchalant. Don't get caught. God damn it. Erase your texts. M.F. Angel chuckled and erased his texts before sending one last message. Isaac, August Remington was murdered yesterday, and his body dumped at my office. Be careful. A.S. As usual, he got no reply. He knew Isaac's cell was back on as he paid the bill himself yesterday morning, so his brother got the message. Whether he heeded Angel's warning or not was another thing entirely. What do you mean you're gonna ask a friend who killed him? Simeon asked, from next to him as they crossed the street, the commons rising out of the fog as they moved down another block. The lamps were lit, the shadows through the trees ominous and spooky, but Angel wasn't concerned. He was recognizable enough that Mugger stayed clear, and most vampires stayed out of Beacon Hill, due to the heavy practitioner population. No one to snack on. The other supernats in the city were more likely to avoid trouble than humans, and wolves, as a rule, avoided cities. Too many chances for trouble, and none of it ending well for the supernat in question. Boston had a very high population of practitioners and mundane humans, which kept the supernatural numbers down. Most large cities could boast several blood clans, but Boston had only the one. And the big vampire walking at his side was a deterrent for trouble. "Were you reading my texts over my shoulder?"
"Yes." "Do explain. I hope you don't mean what I think you do."
At least he wasn't hiding it. Angel could appreciate the honesty. "I meant it. I'm gonna ask August Remington who killed him. The morgue conducts all autopsies on murdered sorcerers in the first 24 hours, and then the body is burned once COD is confirmed. I checked the news and no COD has been released yet. His body should still be there. Which is kinda odd, since he was torn to shreds. But the BPD is notorious for messing up, so they may have put a hold on the cremation. I also don't see the BPD rushing this investigation. Most of them would be glad to see me dead."
"I thought raising the dead was banned. It's considered a sacrilege by many in the magic community, I believe."
Angel sent Simeon a sideways look, the vampire gazing back at him. He didn't see any condemnation, just curiosity, and some wariness.
"It is banned by the High Court of Sorcery and blah blah blah. In fact, lifelong imprisonment and castration of gifts are a common punishment. Though if I want to stop this asshole, I'm going to break some rules. No one else is dying.
Walking around at night is not the best way to stay alive, Angelus," Simeon retorted, though Angel could see a soft glow in his green eyes.
"And then, raising the dead. You don't have to come with me if you're afraid, Elder," Angel snapped.
"I'm afraid of what'll happen to you, Mogra, if I leave you alone," Simeon replied, voice smooth and rumbling and making his heart skip.
Afraid to think about what that meant, Angel snarked back. "Are you going to follow me around all night? Don't you have some blood slaves to drain and nefarious evil vampire things to do?"
"I ate last night, thank you. I could make some trite generalization about necromancers, but as we are apparently going to be raising the dead, I find myself withholding comment."
Angel laughed, delighted despite the danger inherent in his errand. Simeon smiled at him, that same soft look in his eyes, and Angel briefly smiled back before minding the sidewalk in front of them. Angel stared at the chain-link fence from half a block away, the coiled barbed wire on top giving him some doubts about his plan. The coroner's office in the city morgue was a fairly large building, not too far from the hospital, surrounded by scattered parking lots, narrow streets, and a marvelous view of downtown and the harbor that was wasted on the occupants. The building was a few stories tall, with an attached multi-bay garage around the back that vehicles could pull up to, discharging and picking up the deceased. Near the front, the lobby was lit by flickering fluorescent lights and glass walls, the sterile colors and tiled floors giving a cold impression. Angel knew it well, unfortunately. He'd been here the first time many years before, identifying his family and their slain, mundane human retainers. Several times since then for the BPD and private citizens for after-death investigations and consultations.
"What is your plan, Mogra?" Simeon whispered over his shoulder.
An Angel flicked at his nose to get him to back off. Simeon chuckled and pressed closer to his back. An Angel sighed. The vampire felt good back there. Reassuring. "The place never closes down. City's too big. People are rudely dying all the time. So it stays open. The staff isn't as heavy at night as it is during the day. But there's at least 6 people in there right now. Living ones, I should say. Plenty of dead. Angel kept surveying the exterior of the building, noting the lack of foot traffic. The overnight shift was just that. The shift change was around 6 a.m., so he had several hours before there was movement. Unless a body showed up. And it was only suspicious deaths or murders with police priority that typically spurred the night shift coroner on duty to leave his office.
And just how do you know that, my love?
Not the first time I've been here, actually. I've gotten calls before. From the cops, family members requesting I check to see if someone was killed by sacrificial magic or died from hexes. I'm the only necromancer in the state, so it happens a few times a month. Haven't found a lot of those cases were actually malevolent acts. But sometimes people can't accept a loved one's death, so they go looking for answers that aren't there. And the DA has put the screws to the BPD hard enough that they call me, even if they'd rather not. Most of them aren't very willing to reach out to me for help. Angel leaned forward a bit, peeking around the corner checking the traffic out by the main road. A few random cars, but nothing coming down the morgue's access road. Simeon put a hand on his hip as if afraid Angel were either going to bolt or tip over. Angel couldn't help the hot flush on his cheeks or the flutter in his belly, but he kept his mind on his task. He leaned back and bit his lip, thinking. Simeon's hand stayed on his hip, the vampire's fingers rubbing the skin where his shirt rode up a bit. "You sure you want to come? As an elder, you can probably get out of being arrested or shot if we're caught. But I don't want you to think you need to do this."
"Stop stalling and tell me your plan," Simeon teased with a growl.
An angel poked his gut with an elbow. "The night receptionist is someone I know. Same guy the last dozen times I've been here. He's gonna know I haven't been called in. And there's no police cars in the lot, so there aren't any cops in the building waiting for me to come in and offer an opinion."
"Security?"
"Cameras at the garage doors. All regular doors and fire access. Keycard swipes and access pins. Cameras feed into the screens at the reception desk. One security guard. He stays in his tiny little office until his rounds, which aren't for another 2 hours."
"And your plan is what, exactly?"
"Get in there and not get caught," Angel quipped, and went back to watching the open space between their hiding spot and the rear of the morgue.
The lights from the high-rises in downtown glittered over the water in the harbor, and while it was some distance away, the scent of brine and exhaust overwhelmed each breath he took. The wind carried the damp sea over the shore, up through the parking lots and low warehouses before swirling around the morgue, and then on to where Angel and Simeon hid in the shadows. The air was chilly and damp, and sank into his bones. Angel shivered and pulled the weatherproof collar of his heavy sweater up higher around his neck. He pulled his bag around and dug inside. He'd brought what he needed for the raising and an assortment of spellcasting odds and ends for any contingency. Angel searched until he found a small silver and glass jar of powdered sea salt, topped with a cork and bound in twine. The jar and its contents were older than the city they stood in, and he had to be careful with it. He closed his bag and slung it back over his shoulder, and kept an eye on the morgue and the access road.
"Don't interrupt me," Angel warned quietly and leaned back on the building, thankful Simeon didn't ask what he was doing. Angel knew elemental magic, as all higher-ranked casters did, but his affinity was for death and came easiest for him. He could use elemental magic, but it took more focus and more preparation, though he had the power base for it. He couldn't use the veil. The coroner was a wizard, and while the coroner couldn't access the veil, he might be able to sense Angel accessing it since he was so close. Accessing the veil created a surge in ambient magical fields, and the higher-ranked practitioners could sense it when a sorcerer made contact, if they were close enough. Angel carefully unwound the twine, pulling the cork free and letting it dangle from the cord. The sea salt inside was ground to a fine powder, and the strong, clean odor rose and filled his nose. His mouth watered, and he cupped his hands tighter around the jar.
"Ventus et mare, spiritus et aqua,"
Angel whispered, staring hard at the shiny contents, and pulled power from his center and fed it through the jar. This was an old spell, ancient as the shores of far-off Greece that was the home of the salt, and it was used once upon a time by the seafaring battle mages of that island-rich country. The fine particles moved, rolling like tiny waves as they danced. A thin stream rose from the jar and hung in front of his face as he continued to whisper. He sent his awareness out and the salt followed. His second skin kicked in and the harbor glowed with a powerful green-blue light, the elemental energies moving in a near-constant exchange between the air and the water. The weather report for that night gave a high chance of rain and snow, but the sky was clear right now, and so if anyone was watching it at the moment, the sudden increase of fog in the harbor might raise some brows. The fog roiled and swelled and crept towards the shore. The wind blowing over the water picked it up and pulled it inland. With half his mind on the spell, Angel carefully closed the jar, making sure the cork was seated and the twine tied off. He put the jar back in his bag and gave the spell his full attention. Feeding it his own energy, Angel whispered the incantation over and over, the words now meaningless. All they were now was just a means to focus. The fog rolled over the shore in heavy waves and quickly filled the lots and streets, thicker than pea soup and salty and tangy on his tongue as he breathed it in. Angel relaxed and weaned the spell from his consciousness, letting the words fade away. The spell was still being fed by his personal energy, but he could hold it long enough to finish his task. Once he was done, the fog would remain, though not as thick and cloying. It would stay like this for the next few hours, the majority of it burned away by the dawn. "Come on," Angel whispered, and pushed away from the building he was leaning against. Simeon stayed at his heels, the fog thick enough that they would lose sight of each other in seconds if they separated. Sounds were muffled, even their footsteps, and light absorbed after a few feet. The world took a dim, gray hue, bright enough to see but nothing more than a stride away. Angel kept moving straight, counting on the curb and the chain-link fence to lead him to the lowered bar that kept all but emergency and mortuary vehicles from entering the garage area of the morgue. Angel hurried, not wanting to be on the road if a vehicle decided to drive through, and found the curb, turning left toward the gate. He concentrated on watching his steps since he could barely see the ground beneath his feet. They made the gate, and Angel looked up, unable to see the camera that covered the gate. If he couldn't see the camera couldn't see him. Angel ducked under the bar, the fog eddying around their legs as they ran across the rear lot, heading for the garage bay doors. There were several, and Angel knew from past visits that he wanted the one on the near side so he could take the short hall that led to the storage room where the bodies were kept post-autopsy. It took him a few minutes in the fog, but Angel managed to find the right door, the gray concrete and steel building looming above them. He pulled a pair of thin leather gloves from his bag and tugged them on, not wanting to leave behind prints. Getting away with casting a prohibited spell would be ruined by being hauled in for felony B&E. The steel corrugated doors were all closed. An Angel blew out a breath, thinking through his repertoire of spells for something that would trigger the garage door opener on the inside. He went for his bag, but the large shadow at his side chuckled, and Simeon leaned over, listening through the door.
"No heartbeats. No one alive in the garage bay," Simeon said quietly.
An Angel felt his jaw drop open when Simeon slipped his fingertips under the garage door and lifted. There was a faint screech, and Simeon paused, listening, holding still for long moments before lifting again. Without any evidence of strain, Simeon forced the heavy steel door to open, exposing the unlit bay beyond. Simeon gave Angel a slow wink and a salacious grin. An Angel snapped his mouth closed and fought back a blush at being caught staring. The door was open a few feet, enough for Angel to hoist himself up and crouch in the darkness on the cold floor as Simeon joined him.
"Don't move,"
Angel whispered, and lifted a hand, summoning the fog inside. It rolled in past their feet, a thin sheet that separated into tendrils, gray snakes that coiled and waited for his commands.
"There's cameras on the doors and access points."
Simeon looked as if he were about to ask, but Angel waved his hand once in a short motion, and the fog snakes leapt into action. The garage bay quickly became as murky as the outside, but it was nearly pitch black, so anyone watching on the cameras wouldn't, hopefully, notice. The tiny red light of a camera above the inner door was blinking, and the fog hugged the camera, obscuring its view. Not completely, but enough to make it impossible for their identity to be discerned, no matter how good the digital technician in any police lab. "We need to be fast," Angel said, quickly standing and moving for the door. Simeon beat him to it and listened again, nodding once. Angel stepped up and rubbed his fingertips together, the fine leather gloves not impeding the surge of static energy he pulled from the friction. He tapped the access panel, and with a small blue spark, the door beeped and the panel flashed green. Angel opened the door and the fog snake slithered through, entering the hallway. Angel gave them a moment, and then followed, Simeon right behind. The hall was dark too, only lit by overhead lighting at the far end, the cameras covered by the fog, the door to the main area of the morgue shut. Angel sprinted down the hall, stopping halfway at a door on the left. Simeon repeated his listening trick, and when Angel got his nod, he zapped the panel again, opening the door to the large storage area. There were no cameras in here, as the occupants were all dead after all, the claimed waiting to be sent to any number of mortuaries and crematoriums in the state and beyond. Heavy with the scent of death, the air in the room was filled with chemicals and the stench of decomposing flesh, impossible to miss. Angel sneezed, rubbing his nose with his sleeve as he headed for a nearby desk. He flipped the pages of the inventory sheet, heading for the R's. Remington, August, Locker 33. Angel turned to see Simeon carefully shutting the door, the vampire watching him with open curiosity. What Angel was about to do was illegal in every country in the world, raising the dead outlawed over a century ago, prohibited with the sternest of penalties attached. It was still practiced in third-world countries in the depths of rural communities out of the law's reach, though no recorded resurrection had happened in the USA in the last 60 years. Life imprisonment and the castration of his gifts was one outcome if they were caught. If he wasn't killed in prison, the sacrilegious viewpoints that came with the public's opinions of necromancy would garner him no favors if caught. "I'm about to break a dozen laws. Last chance to leave."
"My love, we've committed to our endeavor. I'll not leave you,"
Simeon admonished, coming towards him, looking down from his glittering green eyes in a way that made Angel almost forget why they were there in the first place.
"Besides, I've not seen a reason before. This should be interesting."
"You're over 400 years old and you've never seen someone raised from the dead? What the hell have you been doing with eternity?" Angel asked as he grabbed a gurney, rolling it behind him as he searched the numbered doors set into the wall. He found number 33 and put his hand on the steel door, head down, listening. Not as Simeon had before, but with his other senses, and got an echo back. His heart clenched, and his jaw ached from how hard he bit down. It hurt what he was about to do. That he would talk to a man he loved as an uncle and mentor again only after he was dead. There was no longer any time for them to reconnect in this life, to repair whatever broke when the Salvators were murdered. Angel would find out what happened, and he would have his revenge. There was no justice left in this city for those carrying the Salvator name and their allies. The McAvoys may have been reduced to a handful, but the lesser branch of the family, the Collins, were everywhere, choking the foundations of BPD like ivy, cracking and separating the individual blocks into those who weren't to be trusted and those who could do nothing.
"Did you guess at my age, Maugrin? Or has someone in the clan been talking?"
Simeon asked, going to the other side of the gurney and holding it in place as Angel grabbed the handle to the storage locker, the cold metal chilling his hand through his glove. He opened the locker, the door releasing with a hiss and flood of cold air. "So I'm right, then. Early 1600s, late 1500s? he said, and while looking at Simeon's face instead of into the black square void that held his friend's body. He was inches away from doing something horrible and necessary, and all he could do was focus on Simeon and keep his voice from cracking.
and your clan ignores me unless I need to save a fledgling from a bad case of I Ate a Witch. They don't talk to me.
Yes, you're right, Simeon agreed, his gaze cautious as he watched Angel through his lips, quirked at Angel's exercise of wit. Simeon wisely refrained from speaking about his clanmates, though I'm not certain exactly what year I was turned. Around then is a good estimation.
Tattoos gave you away. Angel gestured vaguely with his right hand as he gripped the ice-cold steel of the bottom of the positive temperature unit. He pulled, and the mechanism smoothly slid forward with a well-oiled motion. A beige sheet covering the body did little to disguise the form underneath it. An Angel held his breath as he hit the latch that would bring the slab down to waist height. It gave a soft jerk, then quietly lowered, resting atop the gurney with a moan. Best to keep everything at this point, as they might need to get away fast if interrupted. He sent a glance at the door, the fog swirling patiently as it waited for his next command. No motion came through the glass window, so they were alone, for now. He needed to hurry, and he was torn between the need to freeze up in personal horror and his desire for answers. The body of August Remington was torn and destroyed, as it had been when Angel first saw it, moments after August's life bled out down his stairs. The sheet was damp, even in the cold, the sundered flesh seeping bodily fluids after death, giving a macabre outline to the mortal wounds below. No heartbeat to push blood through vein and artery. No, it was the flesh itself that wept. Too many gashes to close. Never mind the cuts made by the autopsy. Angel gripped the top of the sheet, fingers curling around the edge, bunching it in his palm. He pulled it back, an unforgiving and unrelenting decision that stole the air from his lungs. August Remington was a man, no more. Just a body. The echo Angel sent through the steel door even bigger, louder. Recently departed and glaringly vacant. The corpse before him was both better and worse than many he had seen in the past. His eyes picked out the telltale slash patterns of a vampire attack, the retractable claws on each finger, lethally sharp, and a few inches long depending on the vamp's age. Across the arteries on both sides of his neck, his abdomen disemboweled, and one of his femoral arteries sliced to the bone, all done in the leanest of seconds. He was slain not as food, but as a vampire would attack with the intent to only murder. August was spared being a food source, only to die in a great rush of blood and pain. Angel looked up at his companion, as Simeon growled, a feral sound that should have had Angel worried. He was alone in a room of dead people with an undead creature that killed in much the same way as the killer did to August. Yet Angel was not afraid. Not of Simeon. He'd never been afraid of Simeon, he realized. Insanely attracted and emotionally engaged for the first time in his adult life. He died fast, Mora, Simeon whispered, meeting his gaze. He had no time to suffer. I know, Angel whispered. He's still dead, though. I have the scent of the one who killed him. I'll be able to identify the killer if we meet in person. And he will die for whatever he's done to your friend. Have no fear that justice will find the killer. Whether by your hand or by my magic, I have no fear of the killer getting away with this, Angel vowed. He was afraid, though. Fear raced through his heart and mind as he came face to face with his purpose here. Angel was afraid of himself, and the inexorable way he came to the conclusion that he would be raising the dead. Where was the man who lived a quiet life, teaching because he couldn't see himself doing anything else, and who bemusedly mourned the loss of his brother while he still lived? Where was the cranky and prickly sorcerer who looked for random hookups and never slept in the same bed with another soul? Where was the man who neatly exorcised himself from the remnants of the Blood War, refusing to live as if he were still trapped in battle every day? All he was now, in this moment, was a man again ravaged by grief and frustration, powerful beyond his peers, and no notion of restraint or caution
as he ran towards a legion of killers. Be damned the consequences. Fuck it. Chapter 7 Felonious Conversations. Angel pulled his bag off his shoulder, dropping it at his feet and crouching next to it. He pulled out a foot-long black-and-green malachite-gripped athame and braided black leather rope and a small red pot, the clay soaked in ochre and sealed with red wax. Angel moved his bag out of the way and stood, and he handed the jar to Simeon, who took it with a raised brow and no questions. Angel tossed the ropes on the body in front of him and yanked the sheet away totally, letting it flutter to the floor. He hasn't been autopsied yet, Angel said, aghast. It was over the 24-hour time period placed on deceased practitioners. August should be sewn up and prepared for the crematorium by now. Fresh anger coiled in his core, and Angel let out a soft snarl that made Simeon blink at him in surprise. I think it's obvious the police couldn't give a shit about August now that they know who he is. A Salvatore ally, no matter how far removed, gets no consideration in this town. Add this to the fact that the police never came by with the picture of the summoner's face they supposedly got from the statehouse cameras. Someone is trying really hard to set me up to die. Angel was so mad his fingers ached where they held the stone and metal grip of his athame, the hard ridges digging into his palm and the underside of his fingers. The long, wavy, watered steel blade shimmered in the pale light, its latent power responding to his emotions. He set the blade down carefully on the metal slab, making sure not to touch the corpse, before closing his eyes and breathing in deep, trying to find his calm, his center. This was not combative magic, fueled by emotions. This was pure high sorcery, and while he had all the strength to do this spell without the artifacts and rites, to do so he would need to open the veil and alert any practitioner within a block to his presence. To do magic at this high level without veil source power meant Angel needed the artifacts to both give him supplemental energy for the working and provide anchors for the spell. He would be providing most of the power for the resurrection, along with maintaining the fog spell. He would be useless once done. It was a good thing Simeon came along after all. Angel grinned. Somehow, the thought of the vampire carting his limp and exhausted ass home after draining himself to passing out, making him want to laugh. Angel opened his eyes and held his hands out in front of him over the body. Angel called to his hellfire, the green flame snapping and writhing around his hands, up to his wrists, his gloves remaining untouched and whole. Angel kept his breathing slow and measured and picked up the coiled leather rope. The black leather supple and smooth. The leather resisted the hellfire, treated by spells to remain intact just as his gloves were until a major working was completed and Angel let it burn. Hands aflame, Angel snaked the rope across the corpse's legs at the ankles and tied them down. He then moved the rope up and tied down the hands and the waist of the corpse, looping the rope under the slab and gurney, keeping the entire length intact. There was just enough rope left to lash across the corpse's throat, though not too tight. August would need room to speak. Angel then picked up the athame, the blade leaping to life with hellfire of its own, matching Angel's. He held out his hand for the jar, his silent and watchful companion still held, and Simeon cautiously dropped the tiny red jar into Angel's fiery palm.
What is so potent you open it with hellfire and blade, Mogra?
Simeon asked him quietly, as Angel used the athame to pry the cork free from the red jar, flakes of wax evaporating in soft hisses as it melted in his hellfire. The venom of 1,000 pit vipers from a massive nest found beneath an Egyptian pharaoh's tomb? Angel said casually, the cork popping free and landing on the slab. Concentrated liquid death, kinda. It carries the essence of passage between this world and the next. I'm not sure what effect it'll have on the undead, so don't touch the cork. Simeon eyed the cork with suspicion and put his hands behind his back, his disarray tucks giving him a dashing mien, even surrounded by death and the scent of loosening flesh.
Angel dipped the tip of the athame in the contents of the jar, a clear viscous fluid dripping thickly from the sharp steel. The flames licked the fluid, and it burned even as it pooled and dripped back into the jar. He waited for the excess to fall away, then put the jar down and with great care put the cork back into place. Angel took a moment, then began. A cut, less than an inch just above the groin, the burning venom lining the flesh. Angel moved the blade, feeling the energy create a line, anchored by the venom, and it pulled on his hand as he moved the athame up the body to hover over the sternum. Another cut, deep enough to separate flesh, the venom locking in, a burning line of hellfire connecting the two cuts. Angel moved the blade, now with both hands, fighting the pull of the two anchors. He dragged the blade down, slicing first one wrist and moving slowly, his boots almost losing traction with the force pulling against him. Angel awkwardly went around the slab and gurney to cut the other wrist. Each deposit of venom, each new line of hellfire connected in a macabre constellation. Angel felt a lessening of his reserves. It was draining him, and fast. Angel was sweating, arms shaking, breathing in ragged gasps as he fought against the horrendous pull on the athame. His hellfire now snapped and hissed on the nearly complete design, and he had two cuts left. Over the head, Angel cut the space midway on the corpse's forehead, the flame darker, more static, and Angel felt his shoulders twitch, muscles ready to give out. His whole body was battling, moving the athame as if it weighed hundreds of pounds, and he knew if he made it through this, he would be beyond sore in the morning. Simeon hovered next to him, hands up as if to help, but a short jerk of Angel's head stopped him. Angel fought and strained, the line of hellfire dripping from the athame's point, sizzling and snapping, fighting him in return. He was warping the very fabric of the natural world. The design he was cutting in place was both map and target for the spirit he was calling on the other